Blood and Barrels discuss cases that contain graphic content.
And Mike has a potty mouth.
So does Amy.
Nah.
Listener discretion is advised. Yes. Yes, I'm in the right thing. Yeah, this is the right thing. I got
it. It's 50 minutes.
No, it's 51 seconds.
Oh, okay. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, my bad.
It's all good. Hey, what are you doing? Oh. Wait, no, I thought you were going to I thought you were going to take it off.
No, I was cleaning up the condensation. Man. There's children.
Shit, I was like naked recording. Yes.
Wishful thinking.
Yeah, right.
We have too many damn kids for that.
I know. Well, we told them they're not allowed to come out of the room, so.
Well, but the older one might walk in at any time.
He's working. He's not coming home anytime soon. It's fine. Anyway, how's everybody doing today? Well, welcome back to another episode of Blood and Barrels. I'm Mike.
I'm Amy, and I'm pretty sure they might have all tuned out when they thought I was naked.
Yeah, so for the five or six people still listening, thank you for hanging with us, and hey,
I'm not naked. Going?
She's not naked. She's not.
Fully clothed.
This is fully clothed recording time. Sorry. We're stupid, but if you've heard us before, you know that.
And we love stupid. You anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'm not even going to deny that. Oh, man. I think it's the sun, too. Like
I was about to say, I think you spent too much time in that Texas heat today.
I'm telling you. I was like, you know, I haven't cleaned out the garage in, what's it been? I mean, I've done, like, small cleanings in it, but it's been a good, like, 5-6 years since I've, like, really torn it apart.
No, it's been, like, 3 years.
Okay, 3 years. Whatever. We have shit everywhere. And so I was like...
Four kids.
Yeah, four kids.
And lots of tools.
Lots of tools, which I'm... totally okay with.
The only thing in that garage that is mine is the kayak.
Yeah, and that was taking up a fucking huge amount of space. So I bought kayak hanger hooks so we could get it off the floor. I got all this organizational shit. I got out there like 6:30 a.m. So I
worked
early.
At 6:30 a.m.
Yeah, well, I got up. I actually woke up on time by myself, shockingly, and got out there and started working. I was like, I'm going to beat the heat. I'm going to get this thing cleaned. I'm going to be able to use my garage again. I was so excited. And like 2:30 hit.
3:30.
Well, 2:30 hit. And I was like, it's hot. I've done everything I can possibly do in my power with this heat. And we packed up. And yeah, by 3:30, we were shut down. So it's actually, I would say, probably like 75-80% done.
I don't know why you're looking at me. That is your space. I was
looking for some
work.
I was looking for some validation there.
Oh, yes. Validate. Validation stamp.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I was doing work.
You were doing
not
work.
Not that the garage wasn't work, but.
I'm be honest. I feel like what I was doing was way more taxing than what you were doing. Physically, not mentally. What you do, I could never do what you do. It's horrible.
Yes. Yeah. So there you have it.
I'm actually surprised that you do what you do and then still want to do this podcast afterwards. Like, yeah, because like all like I saw your Google search history today and it was like Sex Offender Central. And I was like, Jesus.
Well, I don't even have to type anything in. I literally just click on the search bar of Google and it's like Texas sex offender, Wisconsin sex offender, Florida sex offender. Pick your state. Yeah. Which one are you looking at?
Yeah. So if any of you don't know, Amy does background checks and shit. So she's...
This is way more interesting than the background checks, though, because Agreed. All I get on the background checks is fired a gun at a fully occupied aircraft.
I think that's impressive.
I literally just saw that the other day.
You know, obviously that's a bad thing, but I'm curious the circumstances that led up to why would you fire a gun at a fully occupied aircraft?
Exactly. And with this, at least I get the story behind it. with what I do on a day-to-day basis, all I get is sex offender, sex offender, sex offender, arsonist, sex offender, sex offender, sex offender, thief.
Which is why I could never do, because I'd be just be like, fail, 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 fail. That's all I would do. Well, you'd
bring all kinds of lawsuits up for your company. So
that's why I couldn't do what you do. So anyway, that being said, again, thank you for joining us. We're on a rant today. So that being said, yeah, my brain is. It's sun fried.
Okay, sure. So normally at this point in the podcast, you say, "Hey, Boo, where are we going?"
Oh yeah, what's up? Where are we going, Boo?
We're going to a new state
again.
Again,
I love it. I love it. Which state are we going to?
My favorite state,
Georgia.
Yeah,
I'm actually surprised we haven't made it to Georgia sooner. But yes,
we are going to the Peach State.
Nice,
and we are going to Statesboro, Georgia, which is like in southern Georgia.
Okay.
And we are going to be trying beer from Eagle Creek Brewing Company. And to give you a little bit of information on them, hold on, y'all. I got a new phone case, and it's a little bit bulkier than the one that I'm used to. Eagle Creek Brewing was founded in August of 2013 and was Statesboro, Georgia's first craft brewery.
Is that like a tongue twister?
Statesboro?
Georgia?
It's a tongue twister when you try to say it with the brewing thing.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Like I said, South Georgia, they focus on producing delicious, interesting, and highly drinkable beers. So, that's where we're going.
I'm excited about this first one. So, we're starting off with the River Street Praline Brown Ale, which, you know, I think I talked about it on a recent episode. I love nutty brown ales. I'm a fan.
Well, you know what? We haven't had brown ales for so long, and now all of a sudden,
we're getting some, and I'm excited about that. You know, one thing about, and funnily enough, I don't feel like it's the right season, but I know, like, beers can be seasonal. Like, you get more of the stouts and things like that in the winter, so maybe, I don't know, maybe, like, nuts are producing right now? I have no idea.
Wrong. So, Untappd says about this Praline Brown Ale, are fall seasonal.
Fall seasonal. Hey.
It's definitely not fall here, and I can tell you right now it's not fall in Georgia.
Well, I don't pick my beers based on the season anyway, so that's everybody else.
This beautiful southern treat has strong caramel flavors with a subtle hint of chocolate and a very smooth finish. A large proportion of specialty malts are used in the brewing process to provide a nice nutty undertone. The beer is then aged on Madagascar vanilla, perfect for a stroll down the famous River Street in downtown Savannah, Georgia. Side note, no pecans were harmed in the making of this beer.
Wait, are there no pecans in it or just not harmed?
It says not harmed.
So crushed, macerated, completely obliterated, and turned into beer, but not harmed.
Sure.
Got it.
I don't know. It just says not harmed. You ready to crack it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, by the way, it is...
It's a 6% ABV. It's on the can.
4. Does it say 6 on here?
The can says 6.0. So, okay. Untappd be lying to you today.
Well, Untappd be lying a lot. Truth. So, whatevs.
All right, here we go.
Crack.
Ooh, that simultaneous was, yeah. Crackage. That was nice.
Like we're synchronized swimmers and shit. No. It smells good. Mine's
it only
foaming at the mouth.
It only frothed a skosh. You're fine. Cheers. Mm. Oh, I like that a lot.
Oh.
That's solid. Like, it's not like a real overpowering. It's super, super smooth, but it's got a nice, strong flavor to it without being like overpowering.
It's got all the flavors they talk about.
Yeah, it's really good, actually.
It's got the hint of chocolate, it's got the caramel, and it's got the nuttiness. It's really good.
Yeah, they did an awesome job. Good job on this Eagle Creek. So if you're in that area, you might want to get some of that, because that's pretty dope. I like that a lot.
So what would you give it?
I would actually have to go 4.75 or 5 on that. That's a solid one.
I'm giving it a 5 because I like that a lot.
I'm with you. Yeah, and again, like, this is not one where it's like too dark that you couldn't drink it like in the summer, but I could definitely like see drinking this in the fall for sure. It'd be a great fall beer.
So I got cheers to independent U.S. craft breweries level 30 and Bravo for Brown level 2.
Nice. All these badges from the app that shall not be named.
Hey, Bravo for Brown means I've tried 10 different brown ales.
Hey, look at that. Get it, girl?
I don't know how many that one other one means. But yeah, new badges. Yay!
Yay. Awesome. So anyway, real quick before we jump into our case, I did want to remind everybody, you can find us on all of the things. So we have the social medias. We don't use the Twitter. We have it. We don't.
Nobody really uses the Twitter back.
That's true. Yeah. But Facebook, Instagram, mostly Instagram. And then, of course, we've got Patreon. So if you want some extra episodes, we've got some new stuff coming out. You can find us on the app or at patreon.com. We got a $1 tier. So join us and become part of the Blood and Barrels family. But that being said, we ready to jump into the case?
Are you?
I asked you. And now you're coming back and asking me?
I always do. Oh. That's what we do.
I know. Yeah, I'm totally ready.
Okay, cool. Sweet.
All right.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the murder of Michael Anthony Riley.
Never heard of him.
I was waiting for you to say that.
Yep, nope.
I hadn't either. And I'm going to preface this with, this may end up being a short case. I don't know. But it's a freaking fucked up case.
Fair enough.
And that's what we like to bring you guys.
True.
So Michael Riley was known as the pastor and founder of the New Birth Non-Denominational Church located in Statesboro, Georgia.
Okay.
On June 30th, 2013... he was murdered in his sleep at the age of 51 years old. He was shot in his left eye.
Ow. I mean, at least he was in his sleep, I guess.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if he was sleeping, he didn't feel it. I don't know.
So is this like assassination style?
Yes.
Okay.
So upon investigation, it would later be determined that Michael's murder was a hit planned out by a man who was already behind bars with a life sentence, Michael's wife and his wife's daughter.
Oh, so we got multiple. Okay. Yep.
Multiple people involved, and even more so than that. So the people that were involved in this whole plot were Terrell Momon? Momon. Yeah.
Fucking crushed it.
M-O-M-O-N.
Like I said, crushed it. I'm with you. I support your pronunciation. Don't spit your beer out.
Yeah, it already spooged on my computer once. Side note, this man tried to explain to me what spooge was. Like, yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, well, you know. Just didn't want you in your little HR meetings accidentally being like, my monster, you know.
That's exactly what he said to me. And I was like, I know what spooged means.
I was just trying to look out for you, boo. Just saying.
And like I said, I'm not that naive. All right. I know what spooged means.
Fair enough.
Anyway, Terrell was 34 and he was the one that was already in prison. Maybe he murdered somebody, I don't know, but he was in prison because he had committed major crimes and he had a life sentence. So I don't know if his life sentence was for another murder or if he just committed that many bad crimes that he had been sentenced to life. But he was behind bars, not getting out anytime soon. But he was the mastermind behind the plan to kill Michael. even though he's behind bars. One of the crimes he was in prison for was kidnapping, so he wasn't the greatest. So like I said, he was the mastermind and the one who actually ordered the hit on Michael.
So this dude who's in prison for crimes we're not 100% sure of, but bad crimes, orders a hit on at least what we know is some rando priest.
Well, he's not rando, and we'll get there. But yes.
All right, had to ask.
But yes. Another person involved was Travis Berrion. He had borrowed a man named Terrence Griswold's car the night of the shooting. Terrence ended up being tried for Michael's murder. And just to get it all out there, Terrence was actually acquitted because it was determined that he had actually left his cell phone in the car when he let Travis borrow it. So he was not involved in the murder of Michael.
Gotcha, yeah.
But initially, because they did all the cell phone tower pinging.
Man, you just got to really trust some people that you loan your car to, apparently.
Well, and he did.
This shit could happen. You could get arrested, you know what I'm saying?
Well, exactly. He trusted some people, and he got arrested for murder. Luckily, mm-hmm. they were he was able to prove his innocence.
Well, that's good.
I mean, well, yeah, exactly.
He must have had a strong alibi, I don't know. Because, yeah, I mean, a lot times the phone being in, just being in the car, obviously, they're looking at it as, we're pinging you off all these towers, so we know damn well you were there. But, you know, you don't always have your cell phone on you. They assume you do, but you don't.
Well, and I may have the notes later. I don't remember because I researched this a minute ago, but they were able to determine that Terrence had an alibi and that he wasn't in his car and he actually had legitimately left his cell phone in the car.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, so, at least they did the proper investigating to come to that conclusion and not.
Well, he was still tried for it. It wasn't until the trial that all of this came out. So he was arrested.
Wait. During the investigation, they figured it out?
No, they didn't figure it out until trial. So he got arrested and was tried.
Damn, that's rough.
But anyway, his defense lawyer was able
to prove
that he had this like rock solid alibi and all of this. So he was acquitted.
Fair enough.
As not being involved.
Yeah.
Travis, the guy who borrowed his car, was never tried.
What?
Because he committed suicide when the police tried to arrest him in 2013.
I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Well, it makes him look super suspicious, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure.
So I said that Michael was murdered in 2013. In June of 2014, Katrina Ledford, who was 29 and was Michael's stepdaughter, took a plea deal and pled guilty to Michael's murder. Her mother, Antoinette Riley, who was 50, also took a plea deal.
Okay.
Neither one of them was the one to shoot Michael.
But obviously involved if they're taking a plea deal, right?
But they both admitted to being involved in the planning of his murder. So obviously both of these women are involved. They've admitted to it. I did think it was a little strange that it was a daughter and mother.
So was it daughter and mother or stepdaughter and...
Daughter and mother. Katrina was Michael's stepdaughter.
Katrina was Michael's stepdaughter. Oh, okay. So that's where I got confused. Okay, yeah. Yes. So it's his stepdaughter, but the two of them... Yeah, okay, got it. Yeah.
And they have, for whatever reason that we will find out, decided to murder Michael, this preacher.
I mean, it's definitely odd, yeah.
I mean, I know it's happened before, but I just... It's so rare. And then to collaborate with somebody who's behind bars with a life sentence, it's all real fucking weird.
They were secret spy hit women.
Wrong.
No, I feel like I'm right.
I'm glad that you feel that way, but you are wrong.
But you're way wrong.
You are wrong.
All right, fair enough. Well, what do you say before we get into the rest of the details? Let's try this Georgia Tea Party Amber Ale. It's a sweet tea ale, and it's 6.3% ABV.
I'm super excited to try this one. Untappd actually says it's a red ale.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I love red ales. This one, I don't really know what to expect, because when I think of, like, sweet tea type beverages, they're usually like a, I don't know, like a hard something another. It's not usually like a ale, so I'm not really sure what to expect, so I'm looking forward to trying it.
Okay, so Untappd says, the best of Southern traditions, good old sweet tea, a refreshing amber ale with orange pekoe?
Yeah, I have no idea. Orange P-E-K-O-E and black tea. Now I need to know what the hell that is. So you continue and I'll find out.
Okay, perfect. So I will crack it while you're doing that. I'll crack mine. Again,
oh, it's a tea, I think.
Oh, well, it is very orange.
Orange, pekoe, black, and I'm sure we're butchering the shit out of it, but it's a type of black tea, it sounds like, which I've never heard of, and you messed the table again. I'm not going to use your word, but yes.
I already said my beer spooged again. You just were reading. You didn't hear it.
Oh, fair enough. Oh, I did it too, but not nearly as bad as you did.
You spooged on me.
Is it the nails? Is it because you haven't had your nails did yet?
Yeah, it is.
I think that's what it is. We're going to go with that.
It totally is.
So this has, I can see, like, it almost kind of looks.
It's
like
orange.
Carbonated. Yeah, it almost has a carbonated sweet tea looking type. I mean, from what I can see on the top of the can. So it's very, orange, kind of golden-y colored. It looks good. I'm interested. You ready?
Hold on. I got to clean up the spooge.
Oh, my.
Okay, now I'm ready.
Okay. Cheers.
Cheers, boo. I smell the tea.
Wow, that's really different.
I love that.
It's good. It's really different. I almost feel like the tea flavor with the beer flavor, it almost gives it a little bit of a florally.
I don't get that, but to each their own. I get the tea. I don't even get the beer, really. Like, I really like that.
Do you?
I really, really do.
Good. Yeah, I could definitely see this being one that you like. I don't dislike it at all. It wouldn't be my go-to, although this would be, like, today on that hot day when I was out there, I'd have been like, hell yeah, I'd have been down in this.
I'm totally giving it 4.75.
You should. So I would probably go more with a 4 on this one. But again, you know, we have differences of palate, so. But it is.
Yeah, mine's better.
If you say so.
I do say so.
All right. We're just going to go with what you say. Choice. No, it is very, very good. But the one thing I will say is I absolutely love how, to me, this is very unique.
Oh, absolutely.
And I love that about this beer. So it's definitely worth trying for sure. It's really good.
And I love that it unlocked me 3 badges.
Thrice.
Middle of the road, level 25. It is considered a red ale because even Untappd said paint the town red, level 4.
Nice.
And Land of the Free, level 47. So I moved up again on the Land of the Free. So thank you, Eagle Creek. And I love this. I think it's very, refreshing.
It is absolutely refreshing. And I think you get a little bit of that, the tea in there.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. And I get a little bit of the orange.
Yeah.
I just think, yeah, for me, the cross of the ale and the tea, it throws me just a little bit. It gives it florally, but it's not bad at all. It's just, I think because I'm not used to it and it's something new. I have to adjust to it. You know?
I don't get floral at all, but what I will say is I'm surprised they went with orange tea instead of peach tea.
Yeah, being Georgia, I'm a little surprised too.
But it's very, very good.
It is very good. But that being said, you ready to jump back into it?
I am.
All right.
So like I said, both women, Katrina and Antoinette, got life in prison. But depending on the article I read, there was some confusion as to whether they had possibility of parole. Like, some said they did, some said they didn't. So, guess what? I don't know.
Fair enough.
They may not. Antoinette, who was Michael's wife, had also, as part of her plea deal, agreed to testify against any others if their cases were actually brought to trial.
So, wait a second. So, she cooperated, took a plea deal, and still got life in prison?
Correct.
So, I wonder if that was to take the death penalty off the table, or...
I think so, because she was his wife, and she was supposedly the one requesting. Supposedly put it all into motion.
Gotcha. Okay.
In November of 2014, Terrell, the guy who was already behind bars, remember?
Yeah.
Was also found guilty of Michael's murder and was given a second life sentence to be served following his first life sentence.
Which means double life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Katrina, the 29-year-old, the stepdaughter, and Terrell were actually in a relationship.
Oh, what? Wait, the stepdaughter?
Mm-hmm.
Snap.
This is...
And she's how old?
29.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. Okay, so that's where the connection is. She's hooked up with this dude who's... So wait, were they hooked up before he went to prison?
No.
Oh, they hooked up while he was in prison.
Yes.
Nice.
And we'll get there as to how they met. But no, they did not hook up prior to his prison sentence. They were in this relationship even though Terrell had a life sentence. Katrina considered him her boyfriend. And they were able to communicate because Terrell had a contraband cell phone in prison.
Good job, prison. I mean, I will say, I mean, they get real crafty. I can't really get them too much shit. They get real crafty about hiding that shit, but yeah.
Well, they do, but not in this case.
Gotcha.
And we'll get there. But during Katrina's testimony at the murder trial, she said that she visited Terrell quite frequently in prison and that they talked on the phone daily. And this was on his contraband cell phone. They talked daily.
Wow.
So, want to know how they met?
Absolutely. I've been curious for a minute now.
So, Katrina had previously been a prison guard at Washington State Prison, which is not in Washington. It's in Davisboro, Georgia.
And I'm assuming that's where this Terrell dude is?
He was. So, Washington State Prison was an all-male prison, but she was a prison guard there, which I thought was a little odd that they would have female prison guards.
It sounds odd. If you're going to have an all-male prison, you'd think you'd have all-male prison guards, but, I mean, I guess no discrimination kind of thing? I don't know.
Yeah, so apparently they didn't, because that's where she and Terrell met, was at Washington State Prison. She had been fired from her job in 2012. So what, 2 years before the murder? Is that right? I have to go back up in my notes. No, only a year prior to the murder, she'd been fired from her job. And according to her mother, she was not supposed to have access to any other prisons.
So what did she get fired for?
Don't know.
Oh, they didn't say.
They didn't say, but whatever it was bad enough that she was not supposed to be allowed in.
I wonder if it was fraternizing with the inmates or maybe sneaking in contra. I mean, it's all speculation. I'm curious,
though. But any of those things could be a legitimate thing.
Right, right.
But her mother is the one that confirmed that one, she got fired, and two, she wasn't supposed to be allowed in any Georgia prisons.
Wow.
After that.
Not even for, like, not to work or just not even for at visitation. All. Oh, she's just banned. She's not supposed banned. To
be. Yeah, she was banned.
Oh, she must have done something.
Exactly.
I mean, at least she didn't get arrested for whatever it was. But.
But even though she was banned from the prisons, Katrina was able to get in to see Terrell because she had gotten another guard's password, like, into the system, and listed herself as a preferred visitor.
What?
So even though she was banned, she hacked the system.
So does that, like, override the, like, do not fly, you know?
Well, think about how common her name probably is. Katrina Ledford. It's not a common name, but it's not a rare name. Yeah, she's not the only Katrina.
I get it. I guess they don't have a thing that, like, has the pictures of the people who are banned from the prison and their names and, you know, driver. I would think you'd. I've never visited anybody in prison, but I would think they'd, like, get your driver's license number or something. Like, I feel like something would flag and say, hey, this person not supposed to be here.
Well, I agree with you, but somehow she got herself put on the preferred visitors list. So fair once enough. You're on that list, apparently
it don't matter.
Yeah. So she was able to go in and see Terrell whenever she wanted.
Okay, then.
And, like, she would visit him like almost daily. If she wasn't talking to him on the contraband cell phone, she was in the prison visiting him.
That's fucking weird. That's just weird.
He was her boyfriend.
They had to have hooked up at the other prison.
They did. They did. That's how they met.
We just don't know that that's how, or that we just don't know that that's the reason that she got banned. Right. Or fired, right.
We don't know why she got fired.
I mean, to me, if they got caught in a relationship, that would make sense. But we don't know. Yeah, we don't know.
But he was her boyfriend.
Apparently, boyfriend. I don't know.
He was her boyfriend.
I know it happens, but I just don't understand why you would hook up with somebody who has a life sentence. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, even to me. Especially when you're a jailer, like, that seems,
I mean,
even more odd.
That actually makes more, I mean, yes, it is more odd, but it also makes more sense. Like, if you're in interaction with these people all the time and you feel, because you are interacting with them all the time, okay. It's different from, like, somebody who goes and actively seeks out the affections and dating prospects of those in prison, knowing damn well they'll never get out. Like, that shit happens too.
Okay, but those women, sorry, I'm going to talk shit about my gender for a minute. But those women who are actively seeking out serial killers or murderers, no, they're actively seeking that out, right? They're so insecure or whatever that they can't go out into public and even try to meet somebody, and they get fascinated by the glamour or whatever. Glamour's the wrong word. I would go to say the celebrity of it.
The notoriety.
Notoriety, yeah. Like, this chick, you would think working in a prison system, what you said, she sees him every day, but she also sees the bullshit that happens in the prison, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Whereas the stupid chicks that write the serial killers, it's all the notoriety.
And it's fantasy and blah, blah, exactly. Blah. Exactly. Right?
So you would think she would be a little bit smarter?
So there's some dumb shit on both sides. Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you.
But at some point, Katrina decided she needed to introduce Antoinette, her mother, Michael's wife, to Terrell. Because, again, she considered him her boyfriend.
So, the wife of the preacher.
No. Katrina's the stepdaughter of the preacher. but she wanted her mother.
Right. So what I said, so Katrina, mm-hmm. her mother is mm-hmm. married to the preacher.
Oh, yes.
So correct. She wants the wife of the preacher to correct. Meet the life in prison guy.
Correct. Yes.
Terrell. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And at some point after Katrina introduced her mother to Terrell, Antoinette and Terrell began talking about murdering Michael.
Just that nonchalantly, huh?
Oh, and apparently they would text frequently. She even went so far as to send Terrell a picture of her husband, saying, "This is the man who needs to be dealt with."
See, here's what's stupid about this. He has a burner phone. He has a contraband phone. It's like one of those little flip burner phones you put minutes on, probably. I'm assuming. I don't know. She, on the other hand, is probably using her own damn cell phone. Right?
Yeah.
You dumb. But anyway, continue.
Well, but she never denied that she texted him.
Or that she was dumb.
That I don't know. And I totally Fair just enough. Sounded like Kyoko from The Grudge.
Fair enough.
I needed to learn how to do that for Halloween.
Well, now you do know how to do it. You just did it.
And I can't. That was totally.
We'll work on it.
Spontaneous.
We'll work on it, yeah.
So she did, like I said, send Terrell the picture of her husband saying, "This is the man who needs to be dealt with." But she would later claim that she thought they were only going to rough her husband up and scare him.
Okay.
She didn't know they were actually going to kill him. And she kind of like stuck to that story.
I mean, it is a plausible story. But I mean, ultimately, in the end, it doesn't really matter. Because what is it? If somebody dies in the commission of a crime, and I don't know how broad or narrow that rule is, but generally speaking, like it's like if you rob a bank and one person kills somebody, you're all guilty of murder, which it seems right. like is the case here. Doesn't matter if she meant for him to die. If she hired somebody to rough him up and they went too far, she's still
going to go to prison for it. Well, she's so culpable because she hired him. But side note, she was a nurse, so just keep that in mind.
Okay.
Because, and I say that, and you'll understand in a minute, I say that because I actually believe her that she really, truly thought that they were just gonna scare him.
Okay.
But like you said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your intentions were. If you hired somebody to do something and death happens.
Yeah.
Guess what? You hired him to do it.
Pretty much.
So during her testimony in court, Antoinette claimed that she and Michael were having marital problems and that he had gotten physical with her and that she had actually planned on filing for divorce in July of 2013. So, like, she could have just waited to file for a divorce because he was killed on June 30th, the last day of June.
So apparently she wanted to exact some revenge first?
I don't know, but like if she was going to file in July and it's July 30th.
Yeah.
Or June 30th. So police did actually confirm during the trial that in 2009, so a couple years before, that Michael and Antoinette were both arrested for a domestic altercation. So they'd gotten into some fight, and they were both arrested and both charged with battery. But both cases were dropped before they went to court. So,
well, I mean, I'm sure it's bad business to be a preacher and have a domestic, you know, abuse charge on your rap sheet.
Oh, for sure. But it sounds like Georgia is kind of like us, where if there's a domestic dispute, both people are going to get arrested. And both people are going to suffer the consequences.
Well, but it sounds like in this case, they were able to drop the charges, or I guess, was it that the charges were dropped or that no charges were filed?
No charges were filed on both of them, on Antoinette and on Michael. Yeah,
they may have known some people because of what, you know.
So yeah. Both of their cases got dropped. Nothing was filed on either one of them.
Gotcha.
But there was still that record of the domestic altercation, which at least somewhat supported Antoinette's claim that he had gotten physical with her.
Yeah, sure. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
Because that was her whole thing, was that he was abusive, and that's what led up to this. She also stated in her testimony that she never actually saw who it was that shot her husband. And I actually believe that because she wasn't in the home.
Yeah, right. No, that makes sense.
After he was shot, Antoinette was instructed, I believe by Terrell, to wait 30 minutes before calling the police. So she had already seen Michael dead at this point, or what she thought was roughed up.
So wait, so she wasn't at home, so she comes home. And then it's supposed to wait 30 minutes and then call the police after she comes home.
So I don't know that detail. I know that Terrell is behind bars calling all of the shots.
So I wonder if it's a she's not home, wait 30 minutes, then go, and then call the police maybe. I don't know. But yeah, if she showed up at the house.
She did.
And then waited 30 minutes, that would make her look guilty as fuck.
Well, either way, she was told to wait 30 minutes, and she had enough time, and she said this herself, she had enough time to go into their bedroom, and she thought still, quote unquote, that he was just going to be roughed up, so yeah. She wasn't expecting him to be dead, and she said in court, she walked into their bedroom, and he looked dead, and it caught her off guard. But she was told to wait 30 minutes either way before she called the police.
Okay.
And I'm sure that was to let whoever was the gunman
get away and, yeah.
But I'm thinking the gunman was the one who killed himself and never brought to trial.
Oh, I forgot about that guy, yeah.
Well, because think about it. The three that were charged were Antoinette, Katrina, who neither one of them shot him. They were just involved in the planning. And the other guy is in prison.
Right, yeah. And so yeah, that totally makes sense.
So I think it was an attempt to let the wussy get away. So she said she did wait those 30 minutes. But being a nurse for 19 years, at some point, she went to check Michael's pulse. Like, she could tell he was dead, but her medical shit kicked in, and she went to check his pulse, and she checked it both on his neck and his wrists, and was able to confirm that there was no pulse in either. So she knew he was dead before.
And she still didn't call the police.
Well, she was instructed to wait 30 minutes.
Jesus. Okay, yeah.
So she dead. Now here's the awesome thing, question mark, about this, is that the murder occurred on a Sunday, and by Monday afternoon, Antoinette had already been charged with the murder.
Oh, wow. So they got on that quick.
I think it took them a minute to figure out that there were so many people involved, and it was such a twisted web.
Yeah.
But they figured out real fast that something foul was going on. He was shot in his fucking left eye. Like, that's how he died. Remember, I said that at the very beginning. They shot him in his left eye.
Well, yeah, and one of my first questions was this an assassination? Because that's, to me, that's what that sounded like as soon as I heard it.
It absolutely was.
Somebody wanted this man dead and put a hit on him.
Well, which is why I was like, wait and find out. Because absolutely, there absolutely was a hit put on him. The interesting thing that I thought was that the neighbors were completely shocked by the murder. And that's not the interesting thing. Neighbors are always shocked by the murder, right?
Well, and they're, I'm sure they keep up appearances, and he's a preacher and she's preacher's wife, whatever, and nurse, you know. So I'm sure they kept up appearances and nobody had.
No, it wasn't even that. They weren't really well known, sadly, on their street.
Oh, really? Okay.
The neighbors just considered their street to be a safe street. Yeah. And the one neighbor that they interviewed said, oh, I didn't know Antoinette well at all. We've only spoken a few times, but she was always pleasant. So even though they didn't know her, it wasn't even a keeping up appearances thing. It was just like, this is a safe area. And this fucking woman and her daughter hired somebody in prison to be on top of a pyramid of how to kill this man.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking weird.
It's fucking nuts. It's fucking short, but it's fucking nuts.
Oh, is that all of it?
Oh, yeah, that's it. They're, Terrell got another life sentence, but yep. He was already in prison for life, so.
And then the other two ladies got life sentences, and the other guy killed himself, right?
Killed himself, and the other guy got acquitted because they were able to,
Oh, yeah, confirm he wasn't there. He just left his cell phone in the car, yeah.
He'd let the dead guy borrow his car.
Man, yeah, that was short, but that was pretty crazy.
Well, and that's why, actually, when I was trying to find Statesboro cases, there wasn't a lot. And I picked this one thinking there'd be a lot more information. And there's not a lot of information, but it's so nuts.
Yeah, I don't think we've done a case like that before. So, yeah, that was interesting.
I know. I just hate it when they're that short. I feel like I'm jipping our listeners.
That's, you know, it is what it is. No worries. So, you know, we love you guys. But that being said, I think we're going to do our last beer. We've got the Eagle Creek Low Country Pale Ale. It's a 5.4 ABV.
And it says, easy drinking. Higher on the bitterness than most pale ales to balance the large number of hops that are added in both brewing and the dry hop.
Really? So this is like a heavily hopped pale ale.
Let me read it again.
Okay.
Easy drinking, higher on the bitterness than most pale ales to balance the large number of hops.
Yeah, so it's heavily hopped, but still easy drinking. All right, yeah. It says it has 4 types of hops.
Oh, that, okay.
So not too crazy. All right.
It's called the Low Country.
Yeah, let's give it a try. You need assistance. All right. Cheers.
Cheers, boo.
Oh, I really, really, really like that one.
It's an interesting combination of hoppy and smooth.
I would 100% agree. You can tell that it's got a pretty good hop profile in there, but it is super smooth. It's not bitter on the back end at all.
No, it's... So, the tags on Untappd say hoppy smooth, light malty, and strong. And you would think that light and strong would battle each other, right? Whereas hoppy and smooth would battle each other. But this beer really does give you hoppy smooth and light and strong.
Yeah, it's very well balanced. And I think the citrus hops come through... very well in this beer. So I love this beer. This is, I have 5.0 for sure.
5.0?
That was why we give it. I love it. And all I love a pale ale, so.
5.0?
But this is probably one of the smoothest ones I've had. That's really, really good.
I did not get any badges for that.
Sorry, boo.
But I did 5.0 it.
Very good. Well, thank you for doing this week's case, and thank you to Eagle Creek Brewing Company. I love this Low Country. Holy crap. And you were a big fan of the Tea Party Amber, right?
Well, and the Praline Brown Ale.
Yeah, the Praline one was really good. I like that one, too.
Well, and there's 2 others that we'll have to try on a Patreon just because this case was so short.
Yeah.
Like I said, I always feel bad when they're that short, but I also feel like those cases need to be heard.
Absolutely. Well, I don't feel like you should feel bad because there are times where, you know, what if you got to run out and you don't have time to listen to a 2-hour episode? Sometimes it's nice to have some shorter episodes. So I wouldn't feel bad, but you know, we know we love you guys and we appreciate you. So thank you for tuning in yet again. That being said, we hope you guys will check us out on social and on Patreon and hit us up on info@bloodandbarrels.com if you have any questions or any info. We love info on cases. We've gotten some several times and we'll update it here.
Oh, for sure. If you have more info on this case, I feel like there's a lot more to it.
I agree. This one seems like there's probably more out there, just hard to find.
Yeah, I looked and looked and looked, and maybe I suck at researching, or maybe it's because I'm in Texas and not Georgia. I don't know. But I feel like there's a whole lot more to this one.
Yeah. So if you have more information, let us know. We love it. But that being said, we love you guys, and we will catch you next time.
We love you all.
Laters. Thank you for joining us here at Blood and Barrels. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Blood and Barrels. You can also follow us on Twitter at Blood Barrels Pod.
Follow us on all the things.
You can also listen to Blood and Barrels on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, Stitcher, or most anywhere where you enjoy your podcast.
If you enjoy listening, please head over to Apple Podcast and rate, review, and subscribe. For more information about the show, you can check us out at bloodandbarrels.com.
If you want to help support the show and become a part of the Blood and Barrels family, you can join us on Patreon and get access to additional content. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.